Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today from Romans chapter 5, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, dear friends of Christ, it's Father's Day, and to all the fathers, we give you our thanks. You know, this is a day that believers and unbelievers celebrate because it's right to celebrate fatherhood. And God certainly encourages that as well. God made a commandment, didn't he? To honor your father and your mother and those in authority. And so we thank God for the gift of fathers. My father was like a lot of the fathers of his time, and my dad didn't verbalize his affection. And maybe you had a dad like that. The words, "I love you," rarely passed through his lips. But I never doubted the fact that my dad loved me. Why? Because he showed it. He showed it continually in deeds and in actions. He showed me what a father should be doing every day, demonstrated it all the time. You know, fishing, dad things, he'd do things like that. But to me, the most important thing my dad did was make sure that we were in church every single Sunday. Every single Sunday. It didn't matter if we were on vacation 2 hours away from a church. We drove and worshiped. That was what my parents instilled. They lived by that rule, God first. They believed it, they lived it, and I believed it. And I have instilled that God first attitude in my children. And my children have instilled that God first attitude of worship in their children. My dad made sure that he demonstrated his love for me and kept doing it. He showed it and kept showing it by his deeds, by his actions. That's the way dad should be. Love with commitment. And in our text today from Romans, we see that our Heavenly Father loves us with commitment. He committed to us his Son. And again, how has God, the Father, demonstrated his love to you? How has God shown you that he loves you? And of course, you know, because that's the good news. God's made it perfectly clear, not just in words, but in deeds, that he loves you and gave his Son to die for you. God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so our theme, our Father's love. How is your Heavenly Father, how has he shown his love to you? How has he demonstrated that? Again, Paul writes, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God sent his Son that we might live. There was eternal death in our future. There is no eternal death in our future now. God's love, and we hear about it every Sunday, is in the mission field. We proclaim it. Listen, God's calling people to believe in Jesus Christ to be saved. God's love. We see that symbol of God's love in the cross. I mean, this is where the sacrifice took place. You look at the cross and you know that God loves you this much, and then Jesus spread out his arms and they were nailed to the cross and he died for you. So your sins are gone. You never have to worry about them. Christ died for us. He died in our place. He was punished for us. He was sacrificed for us. He's our substitute. I mean, how many different ways can we say it? Jesus is our Father's love in action. When you see a picture of Jesus dying on the cross, like, you know, a few windows down, the crucifixion, when you see that, what image crosses your mind? Jesus dying on a cross. There are so many biblical images to cover. In the Old Testament, we have the sacrificial lamb. Jesus is the sacrificial lamb. And of course, that lamb would be slaughtered, slaughtered in our place. And then we think about Abraham and Isaac. And of course, Abraham was going to kill his son Isaac. And just before he does, God provides a ram. And the ram dies instead of Isaac, in the place of Isaac. And then, of course, we have all the Passover lambs. And when the angel of death came and visited a house, if he saw the blood of the lamb, that lamb died instead of the firstborn in that house. And the angel of death passed over. Leviticus 16 shows more images of God's love. It was a Day of Atonement. We don't know much about the Day of Atonement, but an Old Testament festival. Two goats. Kill the goat of the sin offering. That's for the people. And bring the goat's blood, sprinkling it over the mercy seat. Thus the high priest shall make atonement, payment price for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the people of Israel and because of their transgressions, all their sins. So one goat died because of all their sins. The other goat was called the scapegoat. And the high priest would put his hands on the head of that other living goat and send it out into the wilderness of the desert to never return again. The high priest shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel, all their transgressions and all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness. And so there are many other images of God's love demonstrated in the Old Testament and in the Bible. Paul writes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." And of course, the amazing thing, sinners don't deserve this kind of love. That's the amazing thing. Paul writes, "God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now that's an image too, isn't it? That you're sinful. So how are you sinful? How are you unholy? How are you unclean before the Lord? And yet Christ died for you. Jesus died for sinners. Yes, I know. Jesus is godly, we're ungodly. Jesus is holy, we're not holy. Jesus is perfect, we're not perfect. Jesus is sinless, and we're sinful. But it didn't matter. God found a way to love you and to act upon it. And he showed his love. Christ died for us. Examples of that kind of love. Now, it's hard to find in the world. You might find a parent who loves his child that way, sacrifices their life to save their children. Or you might find that type of love with a husband sacrificing his life for his wife. But usually, we find that kind of illustration on the battlefield where one soldier dies heroically and valiantly saving another soldier. Those type of heroes, those heroic accounts are plentiful on the battlefield. And yet, even greater is the heroic effort of our Savior, who laid down his battlefield, his life in the battlefield of sin and death. And his death rises above all others. His heroic act rises above all others. Why? Because when he died, he didn't die just to save a few people. He died to save everybody that's ever been born, if they will but believe in him. And so you have the mission field that's white for harvest, telling the people what God has done to save them so that they might believe and in believing be saved. Christ died for ungodly sinners, for his enemies. He took the place of those who hated him. He loved those who nailed him to the cross and crucified him. For those who spat on him, he died for all people, not just family and friends, but his enemies. This is the love of our Heavenly Father in action, indeed. And He demonstrates His love in this, that while we were yet sinners, He died for our sins. Though we were dead in sin, Jesus died for us. Those words are majestic, and those words are salvific. Their message of salvation, words of salvation, there's love in those words. There's sacrifice in those words. God exchanged His life for ours that we might live. That's the center of the gospel. That's the center of the good news of the Church of Christ. Jesus became the sinner in place of every sinner. And we, well, in Christ, in Him, we become holy and we become perfect and we become cleansed and we become perfect. That's exactly what Paul meant when he wrote that we are justified by His blood. The blood of Christ covers your unrighteousness. His blood covers you. It washes you. It cleanses you. It makes you whole again. Drives away your sin. And that's why the hymn says there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb. There's power. You have that power. You are God's child. And because God acted in love for you, you have a great future. When God looks at you, you have to realize that He doesn't see you in all your sins. When God looks at you, He sees Jesus. He sees His Son living in you. The righteousness of Christ dwelling in you. Don't you see why we can never take this kind of love for granted? Don't you see why this type of love needs to be spoken of and proclaimed every Sunday, all the time? It needs to be repeated. The demonstration of our Father's love is totally unique. There's nothing like it in the world. Who sends His own Son to die that we might live? Who does that? Human reason can't comprehend such love. And what does this mean for you? What does it mean for you in your daily living? It means you don't have to bargain with God to save your soul from hell. It means you don't have to impress God with all your good deeds and all how you know all the things that you do. It means that you don't have to bribe God or butter up to Him. And it means that if you're steeped in sin, as we all are, it means you don't have to run away from Him either. Sometimes when we sin, we feel like running away from God. That's what guilt does. Makes us run. Have you sinned? Do you have guilt? Christ died to save sinners. Like you and like me. You don't have to run away from Him. Again, Paul writes, "Since therefore we have now been justified, declared innocent by His blood, how much more then shall we be saved by Him from the wrath, from the anger of God? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, how much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life?" And this is where every other world religion gets it wrong. Wrong! Every other religion, their way of salvation is dependent upon the human being, the person. What are you doing for your God? That's the salvation of every other rural religion. It's about you demonstrating, you showing your love for God, your worship for God, your dedication for God. Bow, pray 5 times a day. Every other religion requires salvation by you. Your obedience, your sacrifice, your love, your worship. But our salvation, the salvation that we confess, begins and ends with God. God showing and demonstrating His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know, we were separated from God from all eternity, and that yet our Heavenly Father's love has reconciled us. Reconciled means two things separate being brought back together. Reconciled. And reconciliation is always difficult. When a couple arrives in my office for marriage counseling, they need to be reconciled. They need to be brought back together again. And I can tell you that's not an easy thing. As we begin to dig into their lives and the things that were said, and people separate, they grow apart for all kinds of different reasons. Sometimes it's politics. Sometimes it's they don't agree on morals. Sometimes they're divided by greed or pride or anger or envy. How do you reconcile broken relationships and broken people? It isn't easy. However, God knows how to reconcile sinners to Himself. God figured all that out. And God didn't reconcile sinners to Himself by demanding you to show your dedication to Him, by demanding you to be better, by demanding you to live better, love better, worship better. No. God reconciles sinners to Him through the cross. Jesus is the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus is God's love in action. And we love. We love God because He first loved us. And we obey God. We keep His commandments because He first loved us. And we worship God. We get ourselves to church on Sunday morning because He first loved us. And He just does it. He justifies sinners by His grace. For Christ's sake, through faith, yes, you are reconciled to God. A sinner reconciled. You are one in Christ. And there's more. The Bible says that love is continual. It never ends. He just keeps showing it and He keeps demonstrating it each and every day and each and every moment for the rest of your eternity. It never ceases. His love never ends. And He'll never leave you. So, are you ready to serve Him? You ready to go out and tell others? Share His love with your family, with each other, of a Christ, of a Father, who sacrificed everything to save you. Well, God is hoping so. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.